So Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 27, Paul writes, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." Pastor?
Good to be back with you, and we just truly rejoice in just the grace of God and the mercy of God. He gave us some time away. We're able to spend some time with one another and also with our family, and we thank God for that. Went to a church in West Des Moines, and we were just pleased because their emphasis was make disciples and discipleship and the Great Commission. And you know, God just, He blessed us in that way, and we're grateful. Not often that a pastor and wife gets to go to another church, but God used that, and we were just thankful for it. And I talked to the pastor, and he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Iowa City." And he said, "We'll pray for you." If only he knew. But we just really, truly thank God for you. I go back to the words of our missionary, John Chalufia, and he said, "This is a unique church." I like the translation, "This is a strange church." but we're glad, just thankful for the work of God in your hearts and ours. Grateful. Let's bow our heads right now. We're looking at Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31, and we need God's help desperately to understand the Word of God. Let's ask Him. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for the family that you've brought together today, a family that is centered upon you through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your people. But thank you most of all that you, in a grace that is beyond our understanding, has brought us together. And you've brought us together in this place, a body of believers, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and who desire to be obedient to you. As we look at your word this morning, as we study, God, we need your help. We have a part of us that would pull away from your word and pull away from you. Father, help us to fight this day. Help us by the Spirit to focus on the truth before us and by the Spirit to understand the truth before us. And God, help me to deliver clearly and by your power and by your might the truth that you would lay before us today. For your glory and for the sanctification of your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31. Thank you, Frederick, for reading that, but I'd like to read it again. Romans 3, beginning with verse 27. Remember now that Paul's talking about justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And Paul's telling us how to be right with God. That's what we've been looking at now for several weeks. How to be right with God. That's justification. He says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." Our focus this morning in this passage will be verse 31. We're taking our time working through these passages of Romans 3 and Romans 4 as we examine this truth of justification by faith. But we focus on this verse this morning, verse 31. Notice that Paul asks a question and he gives the answer. Verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? That's the question. And then he says, certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. That's the answer. You have a question and you have an answer by the Apostle Paul. The New American Standard Bible says it this way, do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. So we have to step back and we have to ask ourselves as we look at this verse, where does this question come from? Why does Paul ask this question? Do we then make void the law through faith? It would seem that someone is asking that question. Someone is puzzled by the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Someone, no doubt, was accusing Paul of nullifying or voiding or overthrowing the law by his teaching of justification by faith. And perhaps it would go something like this. Paul, you are dismissing the law of God. Paul, you are laying aside the holy, precious law of God. Paul, what you are teaching is abolishing the law of God. Paul, the teaching of law and the teaching of faith cannot go together. Paul, you are encouraging people to sin and disobey the law. You see, folks, this is a real issue today. This is an issue today as we think about law and we think about faith, or we think about commandments and we think about faith. We think about works and we think about faith. See, the most common statement we would hear today is something like this, that law and faith can never go together. Law and faith never can go together. And yet, we see this question by the Apostle Paul, and Paul's answer to this question is loud and clear. He says, do we make void the law through faith? And he says, certainly not. So Paul actually says that this teaching of justification by faith does not void or nullify the law. It establishes the law. It establishes the law. So how can we understand this? It's just one verse in this passage. And Paul's giving big, big truth about justification by faith. It's just one verse. It's just a few statements that he makes. But how important they are. And we need to understand what he says. Why is it important? It seems that Paul was bringing two very different things together. The law and faith. So do law and faith go together? Let's begin to look at this passage or look at this verse, and we'll begin by asking another question. And that question is this. So why does it look like that Paul is voiding or nullifying the law? Why would someone ask this question? Why does it look like that Paul is against the law or he's nullifying the law of God? Now, this is not hard to see because over and over, Paul has stated that a person is not justified or declared righteous by the works of the law. Go back to Romans 3 and look at verse 20. Romans 3:20. Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now that's a clear statement by Paul. By the deeds of the law, No flesh will be justified in God's sight. So Paul says that no one will be justified by doing the commandments of the law. Let's say it another way. No one will be justified by keeping the law. No one will be justified or declared righteous by God by doing good works. You will not be justified that way. No one can be declared righteous by God by not working on the Sabbath, by not stealing, by not killing, by not committing adultery. And you can just think of the Ten Commandments, or you can think of the 600 commands that we find in the law. Or you can think of the 100 commands or more, the many, many commands that we find in the New Testament. But no sinner can get right with God by doing the works of the law or by doing good works. Now, the reason we emphasize this, and more important, the reason that Paul emphasizes this, folks, is because this is the predominant thinking of the world. This is the thinking of the religious world, that I have to do so God will accept me. And so this is the far predominant thinking of the religious world around us. And now Paul then and Paul today, through the Word of God, sharing this truth that just rubs against the religious world. That a man is not justified by his own works, his good works. He's not justified by keeping the law. Look at verse 21. Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." So God's righteousness is given to us, look at this, apart from the law of commandments. So commandment keeping is not how we gain a right standing with God. And Paul is making this clear over and over and over. It's like he pounds the Romans with this truth. He wants them to understand this. Look at verse 27. He says, "Whereas boasting then, it is excluded." There's no boasting. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. So again, the law of works is something negative when we consider being right with God. And Paul makes it very clear it's negative. We can't be right with God by the works of the law, by trying to keep them, or by our own good works. Actually, our works encourages boasting. And only the law of faith gets rid of boasting. That's what Paul says there in that verse. Look at 28, Romans 3:28. He says, "Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." And again, it doesn't get any clearer than this. Paul's not satisfied even in this statement with a positive statement, a man is justified by faith, but he wants to make it really clear. He gives a negative statement and he says apart from the deeds or the works of the law. And so when we put this all together, we see then why people have questions. We go to verse 31. We see why people are now asking Paul some questions, because Paul is clearly saying that the law cannot set us right with God. We get right with God apart from the works of the law. So Paul's been saying that all along, and now he's getting some questions. Well, Paul, then, because you've taken this position with the law, does that mean that faith nullifies the law? Does that mean that the law is voided because of this justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ? So with that kind of context, then, we get to verse 31, and Paul says, "Would do we make void the law through faith?" So we shouldn't be surprised at these questions. And I think the reasoning would go something like this. Well, Paul, you keep saying that a person gets right with God, gets justified by faith apart from the works of the law or apart from good works. And so it seems, Paul, that you're saying that all those commandments in the moral law of God have no authority and they can be ignored by God's people. So it looks like, Paul, that you're rejecting the law and you're encouraging sin. Now, is that true? Is this true? Well, Paul's answer is also clear in verse 31. He says, certainly not. May it never be. By no means, Paul says, does justification by faith in Jesus Christ void the law. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on to say in verse 31, look at it carefully, he says, on the contrary, we establish the law. This teaching of justification by faith establishes the law. So he's not nullifying the law when he preaches justification by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. Justification by faith alone, apart from the works of the law, does not knock the law down, but it actually stands the law up. It stands the law up. You see, getting right with God by faith, not works, establishes the law. So we need to ask ourselves, well, what does that mean? What does it mean that it establishes the law? What does it mean that justification by faith establishes the law? It means that what the moral law of God requires of us, we will do if we pursue it by faith as people who are already justified, and not pursue it as works in order to be justified. You see, that order is absolutely critical to your life today and to my life. Because if you get that order mixed up, then you will not have salvation. If you get that order mixed up, you will be trusting in yourself and in your good works and keeping commandments and doing things to be right with God. And Paul makes it very clear that that won't happen. That can't take place. If we get right with God first by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then live in the freedom of love and acceptance and justification, then we will be changed from the inside out. A transformation will take place. And get this now, we will begin to love the very things that the moral law of God requires us to do. When before we were saved, before we were justified by faith, we hated the moral things of God. We hated the law of God, or else we got close to it and said, I must do this to be right with God. And yet it worked in our soul because it bent against us because we didn't want to do it. And yet when that transformation takes place in our hearts, something strange happens because we begin to want to do the will of God. We want to do the law of God. And we will do them not as works of merit, but as the fruit of faith and the fruit of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Now let me give you an illustration of this truth, and it's lengthy. But I believe that it will help us this morning to understand what is Paul was saying in this verse. Back in the mountains of West Virginia, there's a scenic railroad that gives train rides from the small town of Cass, West Virginia, up to the top of a mountain called Bald Knob. The top of that mountain is about 4,800 feet high. And the train ride to the top of that mountain is about 11 miles, and it takes about 4 to 5 hours, and it climbs several thousand feet. Now, let's suppose that you're in the town of Cass, West Virginia, and you're standing on those railroad tracks at the beginning of the line, and someone, we'll call him Mr. Moses says to you, climb those tracks. Ascend to the top of that mountain. And if you get to the train that it's atop of that mountain, then you can ride all afternoon in those beautiful mountains. And you think, I'd like to do that. I'd like to ride in these beautiful mountains. And so you begin walking and walking and climbing and climbing. And suddenly you hear another man, and we'll call him Mr. Paul, and he says to you, wait, don't do that. These tracks aren't made for walking, and these tracks aren't made for climbing like that. Come over here and listen to my word. Now a crowd of people has gathered, and they interrupt and they say, now wait a minute, Mr. Paul. Mr. Moses said, climb these tracks to the top of that mountain, and that's his law. And he said, get to the top of the mountain on these tracks. And now, Mr. Paul, you're here telling these people to get off these tracks and come to you, and you're going to ruin their afternoon, Mr. Paul. And they'll miss all the sights. You are nullifying Mr. Moses' law. And then Mr. Paul says, no. No, that's not what's happening. Come and I'll show you. I'll explain it to you. We're not canceling Mr. Moses' law. We're fulfilling Mr. Moses' law the only way it can be fulfilled. And then he points to a chairlift and a man who was operating the controls of the chairlift, and he waves at the man and he smiles at him. And then Mr. Paul says to you, sit down in this chair and let me buckle you in. And if you trust the man at the controls, he will lift you up all the way to the top of the mountain and put you in the train that's waiting there. And I promise you that that's the only way. And so you consider that, and you think about that, and then you trust the man at the controls, and he lifts you all the way up to the top of that mountain, all the way up to the top of Bald Knob, and he lets you out in the train at the top, and then you sit down in the train car at the top of that mountain, and the train begins to move, and it begins to pull, and it begins to travel all along those beautiful mountains, and you feel its power, and you hear its engine, and you move up those hills, and you move down those mountains, and you move through valleys and through hollows, and you're moving on tracks by the power of that locomotive, and on the very same tracks that you thought you had to climb, the engine of that train is doing that for you, and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And then when you pass that place where you began, there's Mr. Moses and there's Mr. Paul with their arms on each other's shoulders, smiling and waving at you. Now, what's the point? The point is that when Mr. Moses said, climb those tracks, go to the top of the mountain, he meant what he said. He meant what he said. That's what the law requires. But it wasn't his idea that you should climb those tracks on foot and walk those 11 miles to the top of that mountain, because that's not what the tracks are for. The tracks are for a train, and the tracks are for a locomotive with power to pull train cars to ride in. And folks, so it is with the moral law of the Old Testament, the moral law of God. It isn't meant for climbing or walking, but it's a track for riding in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's designed for. That's how it takes place. And so when Mr. Paul came along and he said, don't climb those tracks, don't try to walk to the top of the mountain, come over here and take this chair lift to the top, some people thought that he was saying, leave the law of Moses. The law is nullified. The law is void. But that's not what he was saying. He was not voiding the commandments of God. He was establishing the commandments of God, and he was giving the only way that the commandments of God could be kept. Because we can't keep them at all. No way, shape, or form. We cannot keep them by ourselves. And he was giving the only way they can be kept. And so he was not nullifying the law, and he was not laying aside the law, and he was not saying, don't obey the law, but he was saying, obey the law, and I'm going to give you the means to do it. I'll give you the way to do it. And so the law was ascend that mountain and climb those tracks and get to the top. And that's exactly what happened when you trusted the man at the chairlift. And he brought you up that mountain with a power not your own. And he sat you down in that train car, and then you began to move and roll and climb and ascend and move through those mountains. You went to the top of that mountain, but you went to the top of that mountain by trusting someone else and depending on someone else. And it was through the power of that one that you trusted that you were brought to the top of the mountain. And it was the power of that locomotive that then moved you on those tracks through the mountains. And so, folks, Mr. Paul did not nullify the commandments of Mr. Moses. He established them. Now, don't get lost in the illustration. In other words, don't get lost in the mountains of West Virginia. But consider the truth that it teaches. Is this what the book of Romans teaches? Is this what we see in the book of Romans? Is this illustration consistent with what Paul teaches in the book of Romans? Consider the message of the book of Romans. Does justification by faith alone, apart from the works of the law, produce disobedient, lawless Christians? Does justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ nullify the law of God? Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and look at verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And so Paul clearly rejects the idea that justification by faith encourages sin. Amen. He rejects that. We should reject that. Amen. Look at Romans 6, 14 and 15. Paul says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. The gospel of justification by grace through faith alone does not produce sinning. It actually produces love. And this love compels us and moves us and carries us to obedience. And folks, when we sit down in the train of God's grace and God's love, then the train moves along the tracks of obedience to God. Look at Romans 8, verses 2 through 4. Romans 8, verses 2 through 4. Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that's important. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. Oh, praise God for that. That little word, God did. Isn't that amazing? God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That, look at this, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of getting to the top of the mountain was not bad. The law is not bad, folks. It was good. It was perfect. The track was well built. The rails were strong. The ties were solid. We're thinking of this illustration. But it was weak through the flesh. It was not designed to walk on. It was not designed to climb hand by hand or foot by foot. Your flesh, what you are apart from the Holy Spirit, was not designed to climb that mountain or to obey the law. But what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. God did. And we call this the gospel. That God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to live a life of perfect obedience to the law and to die in our place according to the penalty of the law. And when we trust Him, or when we place our faith in Him as our Savior and our substitute, what He did, we did. What He did, we did. He took our place. God sent Christ to execute sin so that we might be justified by faith alone, apart from the works of the law, so that the requirement of the law could be fulfilled in us. In us. Not outside of us, but in us. And folks, this is real life transformation. When it's in us and it works out of us. You see, so many people in the world, they try to do it from the outside. It won't work from the outside. It has to come from the inside out. That's real change. That's real transformation. And this is how the moral law is fulfilled and established. We are justified by faith alone, apart from the works of the law, and the Holy Spirit is given to us, and by His power we fulfill the law. I want you to think about it in terms of a formula. And at the end of the sermon, I'll give you the scripture for it. But the formula for salvation, or the formula for justification, would be this. Grace plus faith equals salvation equals good works. I mean, that's simple. Grace plus faith equals salvation equals good works. But you know what happens in the world today? People twist that around. And they put faith plus good works equals something. Or grace plus works equals something. And none of it works. It doesn't work. It's faith, it's grace plus faith equals salvation or justification equals good works. That's the formula. Just keep that in mind, because that will guard you against error. That will guard you against false teaching. See, we fulfill the law through the work of God, what God did for us through Jesus Christ, and we fulfill it by the Holy Spirit who now dwells within us. And get this now, we fulfill the law by love. By love. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13. And look at verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Paul says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, For he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, look at this, love is the fulfillment of what? Of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, where does this love come from? Where does it come from? It is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love. So the Holy Spirit within us, given to us, this is the work of God's grace, giving us the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and the Spirit is supplied to us by works. No. Certainly not. May it never be. I just want to see if you were listening. The Spirit is supplied to us through faith. Through faith. Paul says in Galatians 3:2 that we receive the Spirit by faith. And so get this now. It's by the Spirit that we put sin to death. It's by the Spirit that we love. It's by the Spirit that we serve. And it's by the Spirit that we climb that mountain, or we obey that law that we could not obey ourselves. And because we are justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ, apart from the works of the law, we serve by the power of the Spirit, whose fruit is love, and love fulfills the law. And that's why that Paul says in Galatians 3:31 that justification by faith alone does not void the law, but establishes the law. So we're not justified by doing the works of the law. We do the works of the law because we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And then that brings us to some final questions. First of all, are you trying to get right with God by doing good works? It won't work. Are you trying to earn acceptance by God through good works? It won't work. Have you rejected the law? Have you rejected obedience to the commandments of God because you have faith in Jesus Christ? That's not how it works. But through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power to love and do good works and fulfill the law of God. Justification by faith does not void the law of God. It establishes the law of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, your word is before us this morning. And we've said a lot about this one verse. And God, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would take the many words and bring to our minds simple truth. And God, in our human weakness, we've tried to make it simple, but yet, God, we're weak. And we fail as those who proclaim the word, but yet our trust is in you. Our confidence is in you. It's in the gospel that we see the power of salvation. So the strength and the power is in the word. It's in the gospel. And God, I pray right now if there's anyone here this morning who is trusting in themselves to be right with you, that they see very clearly it can't be done. And God, if you will do that, we know that that's a start. And I pray that not only is there a start this morning, but they would recognize that they can't do it in their own good works and that they must trust you in your work for us through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask for that work of mercy and grace in the lives of people today. And Father, I know that there are people here today who have placed their faith in you through Jesus Christ. They're not trusting in their own good works. And God, I pray that there'll be an understanding of how faith and the law works together, and that grace plus faith equals salvation and results in good works. And oh God, may we as your people be doing good works, not because we want to earn salvation, but because of your great grace and mercy that's given us salvation. Work in our hearts. We trust you. We depend upon you. And we thank you for the written word and for the living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We praise you now. Thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.